Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. It is episode 31, and wow, it has been a journey to think that we are at episode 31. I want to thank you as you've been joining me through this series as we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, looking at what it means for us to be wise in our decisions, be wise in seeking God's will, be wise in reacting to God's will, being wise in our family, and in our roles in our family, and in the friendships that we make. We've really covered a whole lot over this last little while. And as we start to wrap up the book of Proverbs, our focus has been a lot of reacting to when God calls us. You know, being wise in our reactions, not just wise in the things that we only want to be wise in. And what I mean by that is it's very easy for us to have kind of that wheelhouse, that specific area where like you say, I know I'm good in this area. And with wisdom, that comes that way too. I know I'm good at being wise with my money or in making certain decisions. But how do we react to God's will, and how do we react wisely when he calls us? And one of the things that we only touched upon a few things last week as we were looking at it, which was everything from understanding the facts of the decision that I have to make to asking what are my motives for. I mean, it's a big difference between God's purpose and our own agenda, and asking what are our motives. Proverbs 16:2 says it's very important for us to monitor what our motives are. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit, right? It's kind of saying, do you have blind spots in your life that you're not really focusing on, that you may not even know about, that you could use some wisdom? And it's easy for us to think in the moment that we are making a wise decision without taking time to step back and reflect and actually ask, what are our motives in this? And I think one of the teachings of Charles Stanley was a great one, which said that God really encourages us to bring our desires into a neutral position, bring our motives into a neutral, not into drive, not into reverse or backing out of something, but rather just sitting in a neutral position so that we can accept whatever God desires for us. You know, asking that question, have you ever wanted something so badly that you're not really open to the possibility of God saying no? Right? And that's where it comes into asking the question of what are our motives? Another key component is saying that, right, what do wise people think? Knowing that there are other people who are wise around us, and that seeking wisdom from others is very important. In fact, in chapter 19, verse 20, it says, it's especially helpful for those who are younger. Listen to the advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. And so Solomon recognizes the fact that in a young age, which is who this book is originally written to, if you look at chapter 1, is to young people who Solomon really wants to grow up in a world that where they're able to make wise decisions. He says, listen to the advice and accept instruction. As a little side note, I think this is why it's so important for intergenerational church, where kids see grandparents and parents see kids and everything in between, is that there is an important focus when we take a look at bringing people together, even if there is no interaction at times between, you know, a 4-year-old and an 84-year-old, we may not think it, but for them to see all generations worshiping, I think is very key. That's a little rabbit trail for the day that you're getting, but as far as what we're looking at here, it's asking people who we know are wise, people who we know are godly, people we know who fear God, and being able to listen to that advice. That's the one thing. And listen and accept the instruction. And so that we may gain wisdom in the future. The another question that we need to ask ourselves, and this is absolutely pivotal, these next two, is saying, will my decision affect my integrity or will it jeopardize my witness? Right? And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. And then there's other Proverbs right in that 20 range of Proverbs chapter 20, chapter 22. We see a lot of stuff about the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. And we saw this when we looked at family as well. Understanding this is really a key component in a key component for what we need to do when asking if our motives are right, in asking if our decision is right, or if this is something that just I want to do, not God wants to do. So as we say, will my decision affect my integrity, or even more so, will it jeopardize the witness that I have to others? Kind of that Disney-esque movie kind of love story thing says that we should follow our heart often. And it makes for a great Disney movie, but Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says it's a dangerous way to live. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. In fact, that's what we talked about last week, that it's desperate and who can understand it, and it's sick. A more prudent way to take a look at this is Proverbs chapter 27, which says the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So it's really asking a lot of questions about will my decision and will my reaction affect my own witness and what it is. At the end of the day, when we've looked at the book of Proverbs, a lot of this is about action steps. It's asking very simple questions, starting with, do you want to be wise? And the answer is, well, then fear God. It continues with saying, do you want to live day in and day out and live a good life in the eyes of God? And saying this is what it should look like in all of these areas, from our relationships to our decisions to the actions that we take to the friends that we make. And the sooner that we are able to see Proverbs as this guidebook of life is one that really allows us to move forward in a way where we will be living a better life because we are fearing God, we are following God, and the decisions that we make are ones that are earnestly done by seeking out Him and who He wants us to be. Remember, there is and if you remember way back to the very first part of the Proverbs series, we talked a little bit about this statement of Proverbs in Jewish culture is a part of a larger context. In books that Solomon had wrote. And in each one is considered moving closer and closer to God. Proverbs is that base foundation. That's saying to live a good life, here are the things that you need to do. Hear how it looks like to interact with others. Now, the next step after Proverbs of the three books is Ecclesiastes. And here you actually see Solomon himself wrestling with some of these ideas of what is my purpose in life, right? Why am I doing what I'm doing day in and day out? And it's building on, okay, I follow, in a sense, Proverbs and the foundations of how to live a good life, but now Ecclesiastes says, what's the purpose of it? And we see Solomon drawing nearer and nearer to God as he recognizes this. You follow that even further into Song of Songs, which is very much this intimate portrayal of this relationship with Jesus and what that looks like. And so these three books are meant to be, in many ways, read in sequence of that, of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs, because it is one author, And it each one has its own purpose, but each one draws nearer and nearer to God. And that's really what we have to ask ourselves in our reactions, is are our reactions when we see God's will, our reactions and what we choose to do, whether to follow or not to follow, are they going to enable us to revere God more, and are they going to enable us to draw nearer to God? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight," right? Proverbs 25, 12, "The man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose." In a better way of saying it is, God's will for my life is to know him and make him known. It was during, historically, with Martin Luther, it was one of the cries and the battle cries and the main statements during that time, which was soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Right? And it's reflected in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. "So wherever you eat and drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So asking that question, does my decision draw me more near to God? Does my decision glorify God? Does my decision enable me to revere who God is? And I think as we close up Proverbs and start to close it up, we have to see is, what next step does God want me to take? And that's one that is tangible for each and every one of us to ask today. God does not reveal what's coming next week or next month or next year. Remember, we talked about this, which is the Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. We often want this floodlight that shows us everywhere that we're going to be in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But God promises that he will light our path. And God led the Israelites for 4 decades by sending a cloud by day and a fire by night. And one reason God doesn't reveal the entire future is because he wants us to trust him in the moment and moment by moment as we take steps of faith at a time. If you've ever been bungee jumping, this is a very good, I don't want to say good, it's a somewhat freaky way of maybe trying to describe this, but when you take a look at this, it's the guy who's about to send you off, one of their favorite jokes is saying, "Watch out, the first step's a doozy," right? Just realizing that you're about to step off a bridge only with something tied to you, right? That you've never tested out before. And it is a very, very big step. The way I liken it is more to saying by acknowledging that God shows us the next steps and leads us moment by moment. It's more similar to if you were at a swimming pool and there's all the different levels, 4 or 5 different levels of diving boards. And when you are on the bottom diving board, or you're at the edge of the pool, to jump in is pretty easy. Then you go up to the first diving board and you get it, right? Okay, I can jump in. It's not that much further. And you go in increments because each increment is not much further until you find yourself at the top of a 10-meter diving board or the highest platform. And you jump off and you realize just how big of a step that you've actually made. Right? That first step is a doozy. But because you have been trusting, or because you have been going in many segmented ways, you can see that God is, or in this step, you can see that it is not that bad at every step. Same way in life. Every time we acknowledge God leading us step by step, we see that there is a way in which we are able to trust him more. And those big decisions become easier and easier. Those wise decisions start to come naturally because we have been going every single step along the way by trusting him. And I think as we finish this up, I can use that example one more time, and I know you've heard about it a lot, is for us moving, yes, we knew that Saskatchewan to California was a very large move. Yet there were a whole bunch of steps that needed to take place that we needed to trust God with. In order for us to get going to California, we needed to sell our house and trust God with that. We then needed to finish up at where I was. And then we need to work our way down and physically be here. And then we need to figure out the logistics of housing and so on. It goes step by step. And each of those steps is very big until, even as I speak, I'm talking from California and I'm here and my visa has come through. And it is a big celebration. But if you took that picture that day when we first got called here, that move looks enormous. That's that 10-meter platform at that swimming pool. And really, our reactions will become a lot easier to make and a lot wiser if we depend on God moment by moment and step by step and allow him to light the path in front of us. And I think that as we do this, we learn more and more to lean on God. And understand that he will lead us, that he will make straight our paths. And that's really this message. But we can't do this without fearing him, without seeking knowledge in him. And so that's where we find ourselves at the end of Proverbs. This picture of fearing God is relying on him in every moment and not expecting just a clear picture of the future years down the road, but rather saying, God, light my path today. And that's really our prayer for this week, is in every moment, say, God, light my path in this moment. You've probably sung that hymn or heard that song over and over and over of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, and new mercies I see, right? And all of these different, in that hymn, that picture of all that I've needed, his hand has provided. Yet, it's not about knowing what's happening 2 years down the road, but allowing him to lead you, allowing him to guide you, allowing him to make your decisions easier so that you can make those wise decisions. So that's where we'll finish as we end Proverbs. I'm very hopeful that we can. I know we'll continue this for the next day. So take care as we look into our new series, and what that'll look like next week. I'm excited for where we're heading. So take care. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week.